Today is also in the church. Kind of church calendar is weird, okay? The church calendar today also includes the fact that we remember the baptism of our Lord. This is a thing that happens as an adult. So we've just kind of skipped forward, you know, a few decades to get to this point, at least in the reading. And so today, as part of our service, we will be remembering our baptism. That's why the font is here. I'll explain all this to you. Baptism is a really, really important thing. And, you know, a lot of us have lots of different stories about this. I was baptized as about a 12-year-old in a little Baptist church in Big Stone Gap, Virginia. We had a bathtub with a plexiglass front, okay? And we got in there and they put these robes on you, and the robes had fishing weights on the bottom so it wouldn't float up. The ancients, you know, when baptism was part of the early Christian church, you know, first, second century, the practices were a little different. Some of them were familiar. What would happen is a person would desire to become a Christian, connect with a church. Remember, the church is underground at that point. There are people that would like for the Church of Christ to disappear. And so a person who was desiring to become a Christian, be baptized, they would begin a process of learning about their faith. And also at the time, they were kind of, you know, the church was sort of vetting them because they needed to make sure that there were not spies, you know, people that would come in and destroy the community. And so they would learn about them, and they would, the person would be learning about the faith. And they would slowly kind of work their way through. This went for years to the place where they were ready for baptism. And so the date was set. There were various practices about that, but the date was set. They would find a suitable body of water, right, to baptize in. Now, there are parts of the world that there is not enough water for a person to be completely immersed in. You may know that. And so there are different practices around that. Some people sprinkle, you know, we're good United Methodists. We have that practice as well. But some have used sand. So in this case, they would go and find a suitable body of water, and they would bring them to the water. And the rule was that you should not have anything of the world. Anything of, you know, the devil, even, as part of who you are going into those waters, because you were being, in many ways, kind of recreated, sort of sanctified, made holy. And so they would have them remove their jewelry and all that stuff, and then they would have them, I'm sure they told them this, but then they had them take their clothes off, all right? So it was naked baptism. Now let me just stop here and say, if we did naked baptisms, we would not have any problem filling seats. That would be just, you know, hey, naked baptism at Sterling this week. That's going to be awesome. By the way, that's not what we do now, so relax. But they would take them and they would go into the water and they would say, do you believe God the Father? And the person would say, yes. Put them in the water and bring them back up. Does that sound familiar? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his son? And they would say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And in time, they started adding things to it. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit? Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Do you recognize these words? Right, that's our Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed was very early a baptismal response. So people that would go into the water, they would say what they believed. And that was actually for the church one of the most important things, that they would say these words, because the cultural practice at the time is you didn't say something you didn't mean. I mean, sometimes people will say, oh, sure, that looks good on you, or, oh, my gosh, that's a kind of a nice thing to do, when it's really not, right? If you say these things, you're expected to mean them. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Back up. And when they came out of the water, they were presented with new clothes. It was a new life. You have been born anew. You have entered into regeneration. You have entered into a newness. It's funny, when I was baptized, my mom and dad made sure I had a new suit. I had no idea why I was getting new clothes. But they were reenacting that very thing of, here we go. Here you are. And so they would take them back to the gathering where the church would have gathered. And they were having a party waiting for them. All right. Whooping it up, rejoicing in the fact that they had new brothers or sisters. And they would come forward and they would receive communion for the first time. And then they received communion, and then they went to this other station where there was a person with a spoon. And that person with the spoon would take a concoction of milk and honey. Nice kind of Old Testament sort of reference there. They would take this milk and honey concoction, and they would place it on their tongue, and they would say, this is a foretaste of heaven. This is a taste of what is still yet to come. And, you know, remember, we're dealing with first, second century people, and that would hit their tongue and go, pah, you know. It's not a bite into a candy bar. So with their imagination, had to be wild. And then they were, when that was done, they were brought forward to the pastor. It could be a priest, could be a bishop. It's usually the highest ranking, because that person was supposed to be standing in the place for God. Now, please don't kind of load that on me, okay? But in this particular case, there are times that representation needs to happen. And so they would bring the person and place them in front of the pastor. And he, maybe she, he would put his hands on the person. And everyone in the room would have been like, tears were possible in that moment. Not because of the pastor, but because everybody in the room knew the culture. And the culture included this. And I'm going to tell you something hard. The culture included the fact that when a family was expecting a baby, and they're part of the mainstream culture, there was the expectation that there would be the birth, and then the people who were assisting with the birth would gather up the new child. You know what a miracle that is. They would gather up the new child, and they would take the child to the father. Now, I'm not saying this is the way that culture should work, but I want you to know that the practice was this. The child goes to the father looks at the child and has two options. First option is to examine the child, turn his back, and fold his arms. And in doing so, people knew what was to happen next, which was essentially the child was swept away and murdered or sold. It's the wrong sex. It's it's deformed in some way. It looks too much like my neighbor. It was whatever reason that person, that man, was feeling about that child. That was it. And mom had no veto powers in that whatsoever. That was option number one. Option number two is this. The father would look at that child, examine ever how long he needed, and he would take that child and he would put his hands on them. And in that act, that child's part of the family. Brought in, this is my beloved. So when in church, they were celebrating, bringing around for communion that foretaste of heaven, and then they were brought forward for the pastor to place hands. They remembered that that was a way in which that child was brought into the family. It is a way of saying, in the words of God, that's my boy. And whom I am well pleased. I'm happy with him. That's my girl. And I love her so much. That's baptism. There's lots of things that we say is happening in baptism. There's regeneration. There is a renewal of the Spirit. The Spirit kind of comes into a person in a new and powerful way. All of that happens. Born again, removal of sins, all those kinds of things that we have talked about. But it is also a breaking in of a person, a soul, into the family. A girl. When Jesus rises up out of the water, those are the exact words that God says. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And when we participate in baptism within our own lives, those same words are spoken about you. That's why, you know, there are different practices around baptism. Sometimes people get into fist fights about those things. We're not in a fist fight kind of place today, okay? But, you know, for us, we figure that God, for United Methodists, we figure God gets it right the first time, right? Welcome home, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. So today, as part of our worship service, instead of receiving communion as we normally do, we're going to take a moment to remember that reality. Now, if you have been baptized, that is a great gift. And if you have not, I'd like to talk to you about making that happen. And we can do that. But those of you who have been baptized, we'll come forward today at the appropriate moment. We're going to say some prayers about what happens, but we'll have you come forward one at a time, kind of like the way that we do communion. And I will take some water and place it in your hand along with one of these glass beads as a reminder for you to take with you of this reality. Some people, when these things happen, they take them and they put them in their shower. You know, people remember their baptism in the shower a lot. They also, you know, clean up the stinky parts too, but that's a whole other thing. Or sometimes people will take these and put them in their pocket and hold on to them, kind of touch them during the course of the day and remember that reality when it's so hard, right? You'll know what to do with yours. But I want to invite you to come forward at the appropriate time and remember who you are. And if you have not been baptized, I would love to talk to you. I'll be right outside that door today, and we can make that happen. Or we can talk about what and all that will mean, and I can answer any questions that you have. But this is an open invitation to each of you. And I give that to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.